perhaps, you know, the world's greatest sporting precinct right in the shadows of one of the world's greatest cities.
I used to love the roar of the crowd.
Magnificent mark taken by Walcott there.
A fighting is in the time.
He gets inside, well inside.
In any weather you will see a spiky ring. Listening to the skin, you're not where behind the chair.
Oh, Cochin, just a little bit of genius.
And welcome back to Richmond Tiger Talk. My name's Nick.
And I'm Andy.
And we're halfway through the season and 7-4. It feels pretty good.
Much better than expected. Everything in life is relative to expectations. And yeah, the way things feel is pretty good. And Nick, I'm gonna start off with, I'm just going to be irrationally optimistic, and I'm not even going to bother qualify.
It's a change of take for you.
And I'm not even going to bother qualify. I'll come to the qualifications later. The body language doctor looked at the way Richmond was playing late in the third quarter, and even though our lead was considerable, it was sort of 4 to 5 goals, and but not definitely, definitively game-winning. The team knew it was going to win. The body language was up. It was playing like a team that believed in itself. The chases were hard. Alex Rance was the back line as a whole believed in their ability to win contests. The body language doctor said that the Tigers believed that there was a new dog in town.
I know. And yeah, that third quarter, I think we've had more impressive quarters on paper this year. Like, we dominated the Giants in the first quarter, you know, and came home with a wet sail against the Eagles. But it really, that was a blanketing, smothering. I don't know who came up with the statistic, but that North only had 16 effective kicks for the entire third quarter was, you know, I can't remember that sort of statistic before. So yeah, it was deeply pleasurable to watch.
It was, and it was just controlling the game. And you know, you can get lucky and score a lot, or you can dominate the game and not score a lot. But you know, we scored respectably. We converted our dominance to a reasonable level. We actually got
We converted at a slightly less horrible rate than usual, and yeah, the results were pleasing.
We got a few even up free kicks in that third quarter, which were handy, which were sort of the umpires, like the idea that the umpires don't even up when they give away soft free kicks that lead to goals is, you know, just the empirical evidence doesn't match that up in my experience, but that's not the point. The point is we're absolutely, and the rest of the game was good too. Like the first quarter, for instance, North Melbourne, as was pointed out in the telecast, would be the best team in the AFL if the game stopped at the end of the first quarter. We won the first quarter.
I know. And that was, you know, even that was despite shouting them the first couple of goals as we did against Essendon. But yeah, again, I wasn't feeling. I mean, I'm always horribly stressed during a game, but my stress levels are. I feel confident that the 2017 iteration of Richmond isn't going to panic and go into its shell when it has a few goals kicked the other way.
No, absolutely not. It can fight back. And if you look, you know, before we start going to the season long stats, you know, if it was just little things I noticed. Now, a bit lazy contract here, and God, you might not be aware of this, Nick, but Dustin Martin's in the final year of his contract.
Is he?
Did you know that?
No. Oh my God.
I think someone in the media should focus on that. There was things like, I noticed Dusty doing long, hard chases, which, I can almost never remember him doing, and doing multiple ones of them. And because of the culture, there's so many hard chases in the team. It's sort of, I think it's inspiring other players on the team to hunt hard. You know, Cochin, who's never been a super high tackler, was a defensive monster on the weekend, had 12 tackles. And, you know, this is a team that has not been a hard tackling team, which is now suddenly has a positive tackle differential for the, I think, the first time in Dimmer's career, but, or definitely the first time since we've been a decent team since 2012.
Mm. Yeah, there's, I mean, the change is palpable. The small forwards have got a lot of publicity for that, and deservedly so. But they were only part of the coalition of the willing on the weekend. They were by far not the only ones. And Dion Prestia playing like he had two legs rather than one was good pressure in midfield. Yeah, and look, I want to talk about the defence as well, because I thought they were fantastic, but it was a whole of team defensive effort, and North Melbourne didn't have any answers.
I know, it was satisfying because it was 2 weeks in a row where we won in relatively the same manner.
Mm.
So it sort of, you feel it's quite a sustainable way, and then backed up by several frustrating losses, but on the flip side, competitive games against good teams. So I'm not particularly worried that we've only won one game against the top eight side, because we've also been playing fairly good competitive footy against them. We've had one uncompetitive game, but every team in the AFL has had one uncompetitive game. So at Midway, plenty of things can go wrong, and here comes the caveats, Nick. Mm. You know, what we can name all teams vulnerable to injury, but we are particularly injury. We've now got zero depth in our tools.
Mm.
And we're vulnerable.
Some would say we are already beyond zero.
Indeed. But we can wait that more longer. I'm terrified of old Dimmer coming back. But, you know, right now, caveats aside, we're playing good footy. We're not in a bad position. It's fun to watch.
Mm, it is. The team, my expectations were, I didn't have great expectations. I mean, I thought the preseason was encouraging, and the season has continued from that. I mean, heartbreaking losses aside, we're not a big scoring team, but we are also an extremely difficult team to score against, and it's a pretty even competition, so we are playing a lot of close games. That, you know, it's not in the moment, it is often excruciating, but it's also exciting and fun, and some guys have come on, and I'm really enjoying it. I have much less shame than I did last year.
Well, what I want is suspension of disbelief that there's enough, if everything goes right, and in this year, the one thing that everyone needs to win a premiership other than GWS is a GWS player. A few key players have major injuries. But should that happen, should Kevin Durant, LeBron James get an injury, you want to have suspension of disbelief that your team has a shot.
I know, and I think that's the case, particularly thank God they don't play grand finals on Adelaide Oval, because, yeah, I think Geelong are beatable. I think the South Australian teams are beatable away from Adelaide. Yeah, and it's just GWS at full strength that would be the only monster.
Mm, and and part of the reason I can suspend disbelief is we're doing something different. We're not doing the same thing we've done for multiple years. We've got new players. We're doing different things. We're still relying. Our best players are the same best players for a while, but they're all in career, having great career years. They're healthy, and their supporting class is really interesting. And Nick, going back to the game a bit, also, as you know, as we discussed on the podcast, and I was really surprised that the odds were even by the time of kickoff, because I just felt we were 2 to 3 goals better team, which we turned out to be better than that, but it did show that way. And I was just the game itself, it was solid, it was good, but I also thought it was going to help. Sorry, I remember my chain of thought. I thought it might actually help the way we played them in the past to not have a centre-half forward, because what happens when you don't have a centre-half forward? You really got to think about your kicks.
Mm, you've got to lower your eyes. I was impressed with the team discipline on that. You know,
Did you notice who the worst defender at blazing it away was?
Mm, no, I didn't.
The one who did it multiple... a few guys did it when they had no option.
Mm.
And Prestia a few times looked like he did bad kicks when he was actually, he knew there was no one to kick to and he just kicked to space.
Mm.
Perfectly forgivable. Dusty a few times was the worst offender for kicking it to a non-existent centre-half forward. But most of the team, because they all bloody knew they didn't have a centre-half forward, they lowered their eyes and I reckon we turned the ball over across centre-half forward less than we would have normally because we were so conscious of it.
I know, and the small forward line, look, it was... You know, the small forwards flash in and out of the game as they're prone to do. And, yeah, I think Justin Castagna is just holding on for me. But how enjoyable was that moment in the third quarter when I think it was Lockie Hansen knew that he couldn't contain Shai Bolton and gave up a 50-metre penalty rather than have him sprint away from him. Like that's
yeah,
like,
but actually,
I just love that.
Well, exactly, and you know, this is why we're the part of the reason we're number one for forward half pressure is because we got such fast guys. But just come back to Castagna, he had that horrendous turnover in the fourth.
Yeah, bad turnover. He had some half decent moments though.
He did. That's what I was going to say. And he is currently the whipping boy du jour. Of the internet, but yes, he had that beautiful goal, but he actually set up our third goal too when there was a 2-on-1 when he created just enough contest to bring the ball to ground. Then he recovered quicker and burst through and set up to Butler, who then passed to the goal kicker. Anyway, but he's doing some decent things and he's still cracking in, and he's one of the key reasons. His speed is one of the key reasons that makes us a good team. So it's not that there, even if he's our worst player, you know, there's quite a decent case why you keep him in the team. Like, he may well get dropped, but, like,
no, look,
I'd be fine if he stayed.
No, my 22nd player is somebody else, I think. If Sammy Lloyd's not kicking goals, his relative lack of athleticism compared to the other players on the team, that, you know, if we are going to play a smaller forward line, then... Yeah, do you swap Lennon for Lloyd? But maybe we'll talk about that later with the VFL.
Well, I'm just on in defence of Sam Lloyd, 11 kicks, 7 marks. 11 touches, 7 marks, because he's theoretically the second forward. Who does that sound like?
Ben Lennon.
Ben Griffiths.
Too many marks for Griff.
Yeah, now, Griff takes a few of the rucks, and I hate watching Jack ruck you know, someone like Ben Brown, who's obviously noticeably bigger.
No, but... And Sydney, who we play next, they play two rucks as well.
Lloyd wasn't great, but he was just passable. We had that discussion about Leon.
Yeah.
But... So, other people, maybe we should go to the top of the, just change the talk around a good players.
Alright, well, I've got, so it depends on your preferred metric. So the bookmakers I checked still had, Danger as the Brownlow favourite. The AFL website's, Brownlow predictor, I think, has Dusty as the favourite, but, you know, there's a pretty consistent message that he's up to his eyeballs in it.
Yes. It's such a cliche career contract year, isn't it?
Yes. I mean, he was really good last year as well. But yeah, he's taken it to another level.
Yeah, I think you can make a case. Like, it's hard to know because the team was much worse, but there was an awful lot of crappy turnovers. Last year. I think his rating actually went down. Some of his previous years playing across half forward have been higher.
He's not kicking quite as many goals, but he's fantastic. He's immensely confident and poised at the moment.
Question I heard on, I've heard in a few spots, best Richmond player since Richo in his prime?
Hmm. 2012, Trent Cotchin would probably still be my vote, but it's really close. Yeah. No. I think it's, yeah, he's right up there. He's playing really well. And as you said, defensive effort was always that for someone as bull strong as him, that he was not particularly effective as a tackler. He's got better at that too.
And six plenty of pressure acts. Also, his meters gained was 700, and that's not even above average
for him. Off the charts, yeah.
Yeah, like no one else had more than 500 for the team. You know, he's incredible player. Anyway, as always, one player I think is in superb form, and I checked, and it's Hooley, who I just loved. He's had 18 intercepts. Played really well, plenty of tackles. I checked, he's having a career high year for tackles. Now we're a high tackling team. His possessions have slightly off his best ever season, but we're doing a lot less waxing than we used to. As far as I'm concerned, this is his best possession year. I think he's playing fantastically.
He's in really good form the last month, yeah.
And Ramadan has started, and the old cliche that he doesn't play as well in Ramadan. Well, not the first week of Ramadan.
No, he's going really well. Look, speaking of defenders, there's been a bit of publicity this week on Dave Asprey as well, and Fox Sports website had a nice stat that while Alex Rance is number one in the AFL for defensive contests, that Dave Asprey is also top five for contests and only has a slightly worse winning percentage, but they're both on the stats clearly in the top 10 key defenders in the game.
And Richmond's number one for winning contests in the MAC line or something like that.
Yeah, it was. Runway
because of those two. Another good game.
Well, and the two go together, like linking the two. When your ball carriers are kicking under pressure, you almost inevitably generate more intercept marks. Like it's
and that's the key, that's one of the keys. And you could really notice in North Melbourne starting to miss kicks even when they weren't under pressure because they were under so much pressure so much of the time. And like I can't remember seeing a Richmond team that had such an effect on their opponent like that. But yeah, Asprey playing great as well. Like the two of them, and you could see their body language. That's partly what I was referring to in the third quarter was just very alpha.
I know. Well, and, you know, let's keep talking about defenders, but 24 touches for Camden McIntosh, including a barnstorming run through the middle that set up a goal.
Which he took from the kick. By the way, he did the kick in, followed it at the 50-yard line, and then went on a 150-metre run. Or five-bounce run, probably not 150 metres. You know what I mean, five-bounce run, four-bounce. It was very impressive. We give him love every week, though. But I'm very high on him. Actually, surprisingly enough, that was his, according to the AFL stats, you know, the AFL ranking, that was his career best game. And it wasn't actually that high on the team ranking, but regular listeners know what we think of him. Yeah. I wanted to pay a tribute to someone we haven't really discussed that much.
Ooh.
It's the comeback of Kane Lambert.
Oh, well, that's true, actually. He was in my notes. He's another person who's had a good couple of weeks.
He has. Now, you might recall Kane Lambert debuted at the same time Steve Morris debuted as a forward in that same game against the Western Bulldogs at the Western Oval, in that practice game.
I thought your therapist has encouraged you not to talk about this.
No, but the thing was, I loved Kane Lambert in that game. He got injured, remember, in his first year. Yeah. And then I never liked him as much since. But it's sort of back. Yeah, he's playing very good, solid football. He's doing a lot of defensive roles, but, you know,
Sharpened off his disposal, most pleasingly.
Yep, 25 touches, 2 goals. I mean, he is slow for a short guy, let's be honest.
He's not super fast the way that a number of his teammates are, but he's industrious.
And he runs in straight lines. His attack on the football is honest. If he's your worst midfielder, you're not doing too badly. which is what he is, and he's okay.
Mm. Well, actually, speaking of both Lambert and McIntosh, so I've mentioned a couple of weeks ago the nomination for the worst commentator mistake in terms of height differential. So nobody's topped Eddie Maguire's 17-centimetre differential, but calling Camden McIntosh Lambert five times in a row, well, that was quite an achievement as well.
Yeah, also confusing.
Yeah, I mean, they both have three on their jumper, and they both have beards, but yeah, they're physically they look quite different, and they play at opposite ends of the ground.
If it wasn't because I need to have the names called of the opposition team, because I don't know all the players on the other team, I actually would listen to most games with commentary at all now.
Mm.
We digress.
Rising star Dan Butler, do you enjoy his game?
Well, as you know, Nick, I'm a huge Dan Butler fan, and again, another fantastic game. By the way, Nick, on those before mentioned AFL rankings, Dan Butler is the second best Rising Star nomination this year of his average over a play all year.
Hmm. Yeah, I wouldn't have expected that. I when he got the Rising Star nomination, I was interested actually that Neil Barham said that he could play both in midfield but also in defence as needed. And I thought about it, I thought, oh yeah, actually, of all our multitude of small forwards, if I had to pick one of them as to have a stint as a back pocket, I probably would pick Dan Butler. I mean, Shai Bolton's had some good work as a junior buff half back and a wing, but yeah, I think as a feisty back pocket, yeah, Dan Butler would be my choice.
Yeah, because you need to be strong enough to hold up in the contest. Mm. But you never know, Castagna might find a second career. That has played back there.
Yeah, none of them were underwhelming, but sort of as a group, I thought all the small forwards had their moments.
I just wanted to talk about Prestia a bit longer.
Well, actually, can we just to finish off on the small forwards? I did have a slight moment of panic about is Shai Bolton not very good at kicking for goal? And the evidence from his junior career is that he's just fine. He's not particularly good. He's not particularly bad. He's probably just slightly above average. So that you know, he's not having kicked a goal with his first four shots in the AFL. Yeah, it's probably just a blip.
Cross fingers. On Bolton, I just wanted to mention quickly, he played 76% of game time, equal with Edwards and Butler, and more than Rioli, Short, and George.
Hmm.
And actually, the odd man out, which the coaching staff didn't seem to know what to do with, was Menadue this week.
Hmm. Yeah, which is funny. Actually, I thought Menadue had a few nice moments as a half forward, but yeah.
I'm on Team Menadue.
In terms of you know Nick Vlosten possibly coming back in the team in the next week or two, he's not an automatic out for me.
I don't think Nick Wilson is automatic in, but let's come back to that.
Well, I he's had a month out, actually.
Let's come back to it.
Okay.
Prestia. So, 35 touches and, you know, not even remotely close to our top-rated player. Not surprising, but considering who else was playing. But he's kicking...
Equals third best on ground on my coach's votes.
Fourth best according to champion data of the Richmond players, but whatever, it doesn't matter. It was a good game. I thought the best theory I've had in his kicking is that it looked like he'd had a shot and he was getting shots in it and he'd lost feeling in it, which is why he'd just do those incredibly bad kicks occasionally. He looked free of moving on the weekend.
Mm.
And,
well, apparently he's training twice a week as of last week for the first time this season.
I heard that. Was that the first time the club had publicly acknowledged it?
Mm, I don't know because it came out the.
Dimmer said it in the press conference.
Yeah, that he wasn't training a great deal. It first came out on a podcast, and I think they acknowledged it at one stage. But yeah, it's.
It's been common knowledge amongst fans.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was sort of slightly a bit annoying. Like, just be honest about it. Like, everybody knows, everyone can. If your highly placed recruit is kicking like he's only got one leg, just bloody admit it and then move on and say, we're hoping he'll come back. Because that, if it is going to be training in the second half of the year, that may, if this is now more what the Dan Presti would expect to see, that makes me feel a lot better about it.
And it is. Yeah, actually, the kick to Greg, where he ended up getting the 50-meter penalty. That was a really nice kick. I think that was almost the first time that he's done a kick, and I've gone, "Oh wow, that was a really nicely weighted kick." So I do, you know,
He kicked it a few times more than 50 meters, which was a good sign.
Yeah, I think if you think about it, kicking motion a bit like a golf swing, that it can, you know, we talk about people getting their yips. It hasn't been right. It's been out of alignment, and it showed. There were signs that he was getting a lot more confidence in the motion this week, thankfully.
He still had a sort of Dan Jackson level
power. That's room for improvement.
but it was interesting. I can't quite wrap my head around Dion Prester as a player yet, but. Obviously, it was his best time, so it was a good time.
Gold Coast son Dion Prestia won a lot of football, made a lot of tackles, gained a lot of meters, was a decent but not great kick. I mean, so that was my expectation coming in. So there's still, I think
Gold Coast son Dion Prestia didn't play a lot of football either, and they didn't have to play.
He did, other than the last 2 years before that. He had two really good seasons, and yeah, that was the template for him. He was top 10 in the AFL in meters gained, but yeah, never a great kick. So I think you sort of calibrate it. He can probably be better. Well, he can be better than what we've seen, but he's never going to be a precision master.
Yeah, my fear is we weren't getting 2014 Dan Prestia. We were getting 2016 Dan Prestia. Moving on, Nank.
Oh, yeah. So I've done some research.
Mm-hmm.
So I compared the last four times that Goldstein's played against us compared to this week, and look, the story wasn't, you know, he tends to win more of the ball than his Richmond opponent, but what he's really, he has dominated Ivy in tap outs, like more than 20 tap outs more than it's normally Ivy who's been playing against him, and yeah, he's dominated around the grounds, and yep, was not like that at all this week.
Yeah, so we tweeted this after the game, but if you compare the stats on, if you sort of possessions, hit-outs, few contested marks, clearances. We won the centre clearances anyway. So you'd have to say the fair judge, without going into the detail, was that it was a draw. And that's great.
Once again, in the last quarter, I thought that Nank finished things off well, which is impressive, because Goldstein is known for having a pretty massive tank.
He's getting no effective rest. I think he took every centre square bounce. He played 89% of the game. I don't actually know how we got him off for 11% of the game. He's a strong finisher, as you say.
He's doing a power work. Yeah.
I actually went back and compared. I did a slightly different comparison on Nank, because I was sort of, we all loved Ivy in his prime. Nank's not there yet. He's only played 10 games, so let's not, you know, got to do it for a bit longer. But I, you know, just for a mid-year comparison, Nank versus Ivy. In Ivy's best year in 2012, and actually they're pretty close.
Mm-hmm. And Nank's 22 years old, which is, he's a baby as a ruckman.
He is a baby. And that's great. And, I'm not sure if he keeps playing the amount of football he's going to play. I'm not sure he's going to be a 250-pound player, but, yeah, like the stats that you look at his disposal, his hit outs per game, his contested possessions, his contested marks, they're all comparable to, they're either comparable or better than Ivy in his best or second best season. So if that makes sense, Ivy had one incredibly good season and Ivy's slightly better statistically, but then if you compare it to Ivy's average or Ivy in his second best season, Nank's better. So, one for more discussion at the end of the year.
Yeah. And look, one, I'm sure that Nank doesn't want for motivation in any game, but yeah, I reckon he's going to be pretty up for the Sydney game. He didn't leave them on bad terms, but there was still clearly a preferred pecking order that both Naismith and Sinclair were ahead of him, and yeah, I reckon he'll be cracking in hard.
Yeah. Don't think. Yeah, I wonder. Yeah, I do wonder how much more he has.
Yeah.
I guess we saw it in the Adelaide game. He was putting a lot of smack down in the Adelaide game in the end too much, but yeah, he's playing angry that day.
I know. Look, I've got one more quick note. It was actually probably two more quick ones. Did you have any?
No, nope, I'm done for the game.
Oh, well, just Sean Grigg, people have said the same thing about how underrated he is for about 5 years, but he's sixth in the AFL in inside 50s.
Yep. Goal kicking's not as good as it feels like. It hasn't been as good this year as it has been in previous years, but yeah, that's hardly Robinson Kershaw.
No. On the other one, I don't think we've mentioned Brandon Ellis, and he's another one who's put in a few very tidy weeks in a row.
Yeah, winning some nice contested ball. Only had 5 on the weekend, but was still all. I noticed there was a few times he's running very hard through potential contested possession areas. He's another one who's very much, the confidence is high. He's playing well.
Yeah. And look, the last note from the game for me, and this is perhaps more looking forward, but after last week, I've never particularly enjoyed playing at Etihad, and I've, I'm very much a MCG loyalist, but that's because that's where I prefer to go to watch football. But as a football team, I don't think our style of football and our personnel has anything to be scared of a hard, fast deck at Etihad anymore.
No, so multiple players said it was the fastest game they played in all year, and we have the speed, we play it well. The one thing is, I was joking about someone this today. We, Richmond supporters turn up, they watch crappy teams all the time, but go on extra few stops on the train to go to, Etihad. Not doing it. That was a pretty small crowd. The Tiger supporters did not want to turn up as travelling fans to Etihad. I chuckled at our parochialness about the ground, because it was a big game, let's be honest.
Yeah, $82 for level 2 seating was what I heard. Some of them were asking. I think North tried to use it as a occasion to gouge us, and, it is what it is, but if you want a quick little wager, there's media reports this week about moving our game against Geelong to the MCG,
it's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen. The AFL always backs out. Like, if they have to choose between offending clubs who've sold corporate boxes and getting an extra 15,000 people, they will always choose the corporate boxes.
Well, those Geelong car yard dealers, they've got to entertain the client somehow, the titans of industry. By the way, Josh Caddy, he can stage for free a bit less now.
Yeah, he's been hanging around Jack. Do you want to cover off the VFL really quickly?
Yeah, so actually a bit more optimistic than the last few weeks.
Well, it was a very competitive effort against Werribee. Who were perpetually one of the better VFL teams. Number of good players. Ben Lennon, 4 goals, 4 tackles. And I mentioned the tackles because 4 tackles would be more than he's ever had in an AFL game. So, you know, in terms of him finding the magic key to senior football, I don't, you know. Of course, the goal kicking and the marking is very useful, but yeah, I think a tackle pressure will help to get him there as well.
Yeah, well, it'd want to, because, you know, Lloyd was averaging 3 goals a game in the VFL before he get promoted. So he's
His VFL form was great as well. Speaking of guys who put a couple of good weeks in a row, Oleg Markov off halfback, 26 disposals. But Corey Ellis and the coaches, the VFL coaches rep this week, suggested it was perhaps his best game for the club. Yeah, 30 disposals, 12 marks, 7 tackles, and he had 7 rebound 50s and 5 inside 50s. So he's covering a lot of ground.
It was, and thank bloody goodness for that.
All right, deeply encouraging, yeah. I'm not sure who he comes in for, but I'm much happier with him playing well.
Yeah, I mean, if an AFL player is going to, if you're going to be an AFL player in his style of game, you've got to be occasionally putting in 30 possession games in the VFL and 30 plus.
Mm. Yeah, and 30 plus at his, given how good a kick he is. Yeah, he's. Yeah, that's a really good game. I'm very pleased to see that. Our Richmond Tiger Talk favourite, Ryan Garthwaite, not as good this week, and sadly, I keep waiting for Marby Ochol to have the breakthrough game, but yeah, not this week.
No, the people who saw him play said he was he's not going forward.
Mm. No, a bit of a shame. Look, that was it from the VFL. Do you want to talk about
Miles?
Oh yeah, Miles, good again. Sydney, we are early betting lines are notoriously a bit unreliable, but the early betting line is that we are a 3.5 point underdog for this game.
That surely can't be right.
That was my reaction as well, but the odds for this week's Sydney game are again, I thought, they're a bit higher than I would expect, and you know it's Sydney have won 3 games last time I checked, so yeah, a percentage of 100, so they're no mugs, but their form has not been great.
But it's at the MCG.
I know it's MCG where we play well.
And you're right, by the way. I've just checked while you're talking. That makes no sense. That's another Bilson. This is a nobody believes in us game. That's insulting.
Yeah, I know. Look, Sydney are a younger and more athletic team than they've been in the past, and they've probably been found out by the spaces of the MCG, but yeah, it seems a bit much for me.
Absolutely, I'm slightly surprised. We could talk about this more in future, but you know we've got a week to get fit. You know, we're playing good football. We're fourth on the ladder until someone else wins the game. I really think that is a bit patronising to put up a live ladder that we're in fourth position in the bye week.
Yeah.
But let's talk about the team slightly. So we know Elton unfortunately got injured, so did Soldo, so we know that we're paying one ruck.
Well, apparently Soldo is going to play VFL, will be available for selection after the bye, actually. He's been cleared of any major damage.
Won't play
AFL. Todd Elton has avoided surgery for a dislocated shoulder, but yeah, that seems to be indicate he'll miss a few weeks. So yeah, we'll be small forward line again.
Yep, Nank will be carrying all the load.
Yep. And as I mentioned, Sydney have 2 ruckmen. So they have Sam Naismith as their first ruck, and then Callum Sinclair, who's a ruck forward. But he's a good 200 centimetres and 100 kilos himself. So he's far from a mug. Look, to Sydney, they've got a lot of the elements that we know Josh Kennedy, Luke Parker, Kieran Jack might be back for us. The young guns, Callum Mills, Isaac Heaney. But that Sydney still have this sort of assembly line of good young players like Jake Lloyd, Nick Newman, who you've not heard of, but these are guys racking up serious amounts of ball. And yeah, Buddy, you're still Buddy. I'm not scared of the Rants Buddy matchup, but yeah, but Buddy will still get a few goals.
Yeah, it's enough to get you worried.
Oh yeah, and so, by the time, look, I'm thoroughly relaxed in bye week mode now. But by the time the game rolls around, yeah, I'll be stressed and nervous.
So play selection, fantasy selection game. Hang out, no change.
I'd look really hard at having Ben Lennon as a marking option.
Lennon for Lloyd.
Yeah, look, Vlossie, as I said, his last game was a month ago, so I'd seriously think about giving him a week in the VFL to get to full fitness.
Vlossie's last game was actually playing quite well, so. But what is?
Well, yeah, I mean, you never know how he trains. That's always the unknown factor.
But what is? Let's assume he's fully fit. And I agree with you. But here was the thing I was thinking about. And maybe this isn't directly related to Vlossie, but I really like Jaden Short. I think he kept his opponent to 11 touches, that the quick North Melbourne player. He's so important to, you know, if you're going to play Short, you've got to move the ball quick. And he's so important in our back line about helping move the ball quickly and break lines and kick over and kick long. And also when we're sort of working ourselves into a hole, you can always hand pass to him and he'll be able to use his feet to get out of it. So anyway, that's Jaden Short at one point. But whose spot at the moment does Vlossie take?
Well, the idea would be, I think, to have, if you're going to play him as a defender, to have him sort of man up the guy that McIntosh has been manning, and then have McIntosh play more as a more conventional wing, ahead of someone like Menadue. I think that would be how I'd shuffle things. But as I've said before, I've really enjoyed how much McIntosh has improved as a defender. So yeah, it's a nice problem to have.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. And what's Vlossie good at? Winning contests. And the team's winning them really well without him. So it was just the thought is, in a perfect world, if you just had a rating out of 100 for each footballer, Vlossie is in our best 22, but I'm just not convinced this, based on recency biased of how we're playing, that he is currently structurally in our best 22. But we'll see.
Okay. So look, we haven't worked out if, we'll probably most likely have a week off next week unless we can find something else new to talk about. But yeah, otherwise we'll catch you after the Swans game. And
it's nice to have 2 weeks as a winner, isn't it?
It's winning as ever is better than losing.
I'm Andy.
I'm Nick. We're Richmond Tiger Talk.